Europe.
Cyprus. 50 years of division. There seems no prospect for the reunification of the island, half a century after Turkey invaded the north.
As one of the world's oldest conflicts turns 50 this week, a resolution to the division of Cyprus remains far away. Unless, that is, you consider the status quo to be a resolution of sorts. The island of Cyprus won independence from Britain in 1960 and was almost immediately riven by disputes between its largely Greek south and its largely Turkish north. After violence broke out in Nicosia, the capital, in 1963, the UN sent in peacekeepers. In 1974, the junta that ruled Greece tried to unite Cyprus with Greece, ousting the president of the island. That led Turkey to invade on July 20th, eventually taking control of just over a third of the island. In time, the Turkish part, divided from the Greek bit by a UN-administered buffer zone, became the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, or TRNC, recognised by Turkey but nobody else. International efforts to unite the island in a bi-zonal, bi-communal federation failed in 2004 and 2017. Cyprus is now experiencing its longest ever period without serious negotiations. Earlier this year, Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary-General, appointed an envoy, Maria Angela Holguín Cuellar, a former foreign minister of Colombia, to assess whether enough common ground exists for talks to resume. Her conclusions have yet to be made public. For better or worse, the political and economic dynamic suggests that the current division could continue indefinitely. The Cyprus problem is difficult to solve, but relatively easy to manage, says Hubert Faustmann, a law professor at the University of Nicosia in the south. In 2012, two academics, Konstantinos Adamidis of the University of Nicosia and Kostas Konstantinou of the University of Cyprus, coined the term comfortable conflict to describe the standoff. In contrast to the Palestinian-Israeli or Armenian-Azerbaijani conflicts, Cyprus's division is almost literally a walk in the park. Since 2003, both sides have allowed free crossings of the buffer zone. The ability to move freely has been a huge confidence-building measure for the once claustrophobic portions of the island, says Sertaç Sonan, a scholar at Cyprus International University in the portion of Nicosia, the divided capital, on the TRNC side. Mr. Sonnen himself crosses the buffer zone almost every day. During your correspondent's multiple foot crossings through Nicosia's two checkpoints in the course of a week, the wait never exceeded a minute. Car crossings can take longer, but are common in both directions. Turkish Cypriots from the north come to work in the richer south or shop for brands that are unwilling to do business in the unrecognised north. Greek Cypriots from the south, meanwhile, head north for inexpensive dining, haircuts and dentistry, a chance to visit a growing number of casinos and to buy petrol, which is a lot cheaper in the TRNC. Extremist violence has been all but non-existent. The conflict's last deaths came in 1996. The younger generations are psychologically removed from the fighting and property dispossession of the 1970s. The Republic of Cyprus, the officially recognised entity, which de facto consists of the predominantly Greek south, joined the EU in 2004. Many residents of the north can get a Republic of Cyprus passport, giving them access not just to southern Cyprus, but also to the EU and its perks. Turkish Cypriots are generally eligible so long as they were born there before the invasion or both parents were. A large majority have taken up the offer. Those that arrived afterwards usually do not qualify. Freedom of movement and access to Europe have reduced the pressure on both sides to unify. For many Greek Cypriots, unification has only a downside. They would have to share power with Turkish Cypriots and indirectly with Turkey itself. The difference in incomes, GDP per head, is twice or more as high as on the Greek side than on the Turkish one, could cause economic upheaval. In all, many Greek Cypriots would see reunification as a real risk of becoming Lebanon, and our parents already lived through that, says Michael Sirivianos, an engineering dean at Cyprus University of Technology in the southern coastal city of Limassol. Efforts to forge a bi-communal mindset with Cypriot institutions that span the buffer zone have seen only limited success. Although Turkish Cypriots did vote for unification in a referendum held in 2004, shortly before Cyprus formally joined the EU, the Greek ones rejected it, the current political dynamic raises questions about whether that would happen again. Immigrants from mainland Turkey and their descendants may already be the majority in the north. Turkey, under its president Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has become increasingly influential in Turkish Cypriot affairs, both in politics and by offering an economic lifeline. The discovery of offshore gas deposits led some to hope that fossil fuel development might help both sides cut the Gordian knot. But it has instead meant more squabbling. Turkish Cypriots are now, on the whole, more interested in a two-state solution than any form of federation. It saddens me to say, but I think the status quo has been very sustainable in Cyprus, says Ahmet Sezen, a political scientist at Eastern Mediterranean University in the northern city of Famagusta. The longer the division continues, he says, the more concrete it gets.